This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
9:03 on this Saturday morning. Time now for Sports Saturday, brought to you by Prairie Farms Dairy in Carlinville. Taste the homemade goodness of Prairie Farms. By Mark Steeren, your State Farm Insurance agent in Litchfield. Hillsborough Area Hospital, your front door to a world of healthcare. Kurtz 24-hour heavy and light-duty towing in Litchfield. By Bruce Webb Insurance in Farmersville and Raymond. DC Waste and Recycling. By Garrell's Auto Body and Repair in Litchfield, and by CTI Tech. And on this Saturday morning, we join WSMI's Tim Mize, Terry Tote, and Dan Newkirk.
He's back!
Oh gosh, he's back. Run for the hills!
I don't think so. I don't think so. I think I'm planting down and listening to what you have to say, my friend. So glad to have you back.
Blind as a bat and out of control. Here we go. Just like that stone rolling downhill. You don't know where it's going to end up.
don't know how fast you're going to go,
but you're going to end up at the bottom of the hill someplace.
But the key is it keeps on rolling.
It just keeps rolling. There you go.
That's right. Terry, obviously, it's just everyone just so happy to hear you this morning here on Sports Saturday. And I guess if you would like, just kind of tell everyone how you're feeling, how you're doing, what's going on.
Sure. As far as my health update is concerned, I'll be honest with you. We've gotten off of the chemotherapy because it was actually hurting me more than the cancer itself. So we've backed off on that and are still exploring other things. But I feel good. I'll be back at work come Monday and looking forward to having a good time and doing radio and boy, we're 2/3 of the way through the football season already. Huh? Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
This is crazy.
And technically, Terry, you're back to work right now.
I'm back to work right now. Well, I've never really worked.
That's
what I tell people. I say, I really don't work for a living. I just go and have some fun at the radio station. So, and it's interesting. My doctor yesterday, I had a doctor's appointment in Springfield. And the guy that I saw yesterday actually was the videographer for Sacred Heart Griffin.
Okay.
So we talked a little bit of sports and stuff yesterday. So interesting, you know. The world is extremely small.
When you're an institution, you just can't get away from it, Terry.
And that's where I should belong in the institution, yes.
Terry, your buddy Chad Easton is on the phone, right?
Oh, is he? Chad, how you doing, man?
Good. How are you, sir?
I'm feeling very well. Thank you. It's good to hear your voice. And hey, what a great season you have got going with the Cavaliers here. But I don't think it's surprising anybody in the area.
Well, Terry, first of all, it's good to hear your voice, man. I'm glad you're doing better.
Yeah.
So, we're off and running. You know, we've got great kids. You know, it comes down to great kids, and we got a group that's special. It's worked hard. And hopefully we can do something special this season.
Well, it's also the program, you know, and we've talked about it, and you've been part of it both as a kid and as a coach. Things are in place, and, you know, Carlinville is just one of those schools where you have such extremely high expectations. And I know I've talked to a lot of people here the last few weeks, doctors and various other people, and they keep asking me, well, what do you know? I said, well, Carlinville's good. I'm just telling you right now, Carlinville's good. So.
Well, I tell you what, it's a great community. It's a great football town. You know, I'm a very small part in something that's very, very big, I think. And, you know, it dates back a long, long time, like you and I've talked, and it's nice to be around when the expectation level is high and we get kids to enjoy that and want to work at that and a coaching staff that wants to work with that. So I can't say enough positive things about every entity that goes into a Friday night football game. And it's just a great experience that I've had over the last 10, 12 years.
And I think the point that you made that a lot of people don't realize is that the kids come in with the expectation to do well.
Yeah, you know, we use the sentence, and people get so tired of hearing it. Chad Easterday did not create Carville tradition. Yeah. Carville tradition's been around a lot longer than he has, so it's just our job to withhold it. And I think kids take a lot of pride in that, and I think it's something that they strive to do. And like we said, I think it's great, and we want the pressure. I try to tell the kids, you know, we want pressure. You don't ever want to be relaxed. You want to have to perform at the highest level possible, and so far we've been able to do that this season.
Well, Chad, us in the media have been looking forward to this Vandalia game for probably 3 weeks, really, since you wrapped up, I guess 2 weeks since you wrapped up your game with Peta, but you kept telling us 1 week at a time. We got Roxana, we got Southwestern. Now we could talk about Vandalia. What a monster game this is on Friday night.
Yeah, you know, it's week seven, and it's time for that, those types of games to occur, I think. You know, we've talked all year. As the season progresses, people fall out, people get better, and you wait for these weeks to happen, and you don't ever want to think about one more important, but, you know, we're here. We're here, and we got it, and we're both going to be 6-0. We're both ranked. Should be a few people there, I would guess. I mean, just a few. But, you know, I think it's what that time of year is in football, in high school football. So, you know, but that being said, on Monday, we're going to run Monday practice, Tuesday practice, Wednesday practice, and keep right on plugging along.
Same old, man. But the great thing about a game,
Terry, I don't want to say it again, but you know, I've got so many coaches that I admire and have just taught me certain things, and there's no real reason to think that next Friday night at 7,
right?
And I love the hype as it builds up. I think it's great for the community, it's great for players, but at 7 o'clock, it's going to come down to who does the best job on the field as players. And who stays calm the most as coaches and sticks to their game plan and makes the less mistakes. And if you're willing to stick to your plan and control yourself in a little chaotic situations, then you usually end up on the right end of things.
Yeah. And it's funny because you mentioned the Friday night lights and the great crowd and everything. You're not going to pay a bit of attention to that stuff. You're going to be working, man. You're going to be busy.
I tell you what, it's amazing because somebody, a couple years ago, we played Williamsville at home, and the game was over, and we had picked up, and I did my routine and helped get the grill in and all that good stuff and blah, blah, blah. And somebody goes, hey, there was like a lot of people here. I said, oh. I said, really? I said, I'll be honest with you, I don't even know where my wife is at this time. I said, she probably went home because she got tired of waiting on me. So, you know, you're exactly correct. I think it's great for the people behind the bleachers or behind the fences, and it's good for the kids on the field. So, looking forward to a great atmosphere.
And the really neat thing about a couple of 6-0 teams going at it, it's a great prep for postseason.
That's correct, because win or lose, the atmosphere that's going to be there is going to be what it is week one of the playoffs. And, you know, we tried to tell our kids that several years ago. We went to the state title, lost the football game. Many years ago, we were 9-0 and lost in the first round. So, you know, not that we don't think this game is highly important and want to win a conference title, it is not the end all to be all. You don't want to win, you don't want to lose weeks 10, 11, and 12. So that's still the goal, and we'll prepare and move forward.
Chad, I don't expect you to give away any state secrets by any means, but Trevor Smalls, this kid is dynamic on many, many levels.
Well, Tim, we don't have many secrets, so, you know, it is what it is. And yeah, I tell you what, he's a great running back. Last year we did a really good job of keeping, or 2 years ago, keeping him bottled up and got him bottled up last week. So I think, you know, that has got to be the focus, to take away him and force something else to beat you. I know the quarterback's back. He got another year under his belt. So, they did lose the wide receiver and, that sort of thing. So, you know, I think the matchups are a little different, and, we'll work on that tomorrow at 6 o'clock in the morning and, try to get that game plan solidified and go from there.
What's Tucker Hughes' status?
Tucker Hughes is probably going to play. Felt pretty good, warmed up last night, felt good. I don't want to say he's 100% as we stand here today, but by all diagnosis, he probably should be back. Ethan Wallace had an ankle sprain, probably could have played last night and didn't. So, you know, we're getting healthier as we go into that next Friday night.
And, Chad, there was a really great article written by Dave Kane this week talking about your football program. Just talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, you know, Dave does a great job, and I'm just proud of our kids. Our kids are our team-oriented guys. I think, you know, the article featured Kyle Dixon, Jake Gambiel, and Jerry East today, and they statistically have been, you know, one of the best that we've had this year. And, you know, I was very proud of those kids. I think they took the honor, and they're humble with all the other things. I think our offensive line and the other receivers that come with them that make them who they are, you know, it's humbling for me, and I'm very proud of them that they take that.
Chad, you guys are off to a great start. We'll be there next Friday night in Vandia. It's going to be a heck of a ball game, and we'll talk to you next week, sir.
I think I'm going to show up, too. I appreciate
okay.
your time.
That's good.
Thanks, Chad.
Chad,
good luck,
the
my
head
friend.
Coach of the Carletonville Cavaliers. And Dan, you've seen Vandalia this year, and I know you came away extremely impressed.
Very impressed. We had the Hillsboro game over at Vandalia, and he talked about Trevor Smalls and how dynamic and of a runner he is. But he can throw the ball. He is on their depth chart at quarterback and will play. They've got some wildcat packages where he is at quarterback and throwing the ball. He brings so much more to a football game other than his what he does with the ball. As a decoy, he opens up a lot of holes for people just taking ball fakes, and or he'll swing out in a swing pattern and he has a tension coming his way and the ball's going the other way. So they use him. Coach Clay uses him very well, not just with the ball in his hands, but also with the ball not in his hands, which I've always thought is a great sign of a player, not what they do with the ball, but what they do with that. He's a great blocker. He's great in pass pro. He really is. When you look at football players in the conference, he's in the conversation of the best player in the conference.
It's been a long time since Carletonville took the field and didn't have by far the best running back.
Yeah.
Right. And that's true. And a healthy Tucker Smalls is in that conversation with Trevor Smalls, but yeah, Trevor is so he's done such a great job with his body getting strong and healthy. I saw him in a track meet this last spring and could not believe the improvements he'd made since his sophomore year in the weight room, and just and I know he's taken another step from what he looked like this year. So he's really committed himself to his body and to his craft.
And to guys like us, you know, media people looking at this ball game, this is a huge game from the standpoint of the conference race, but really it's just a prep game for the postseason. That's how I, you know, when you boil it down to the very basics, that's what it is.
And Carletonville has not been challenged yet this year. I mean, you look at their scores, you know, Hillsboro played with them a half, Gillespie played with them for a half, but other than that, I mean, they have really not been challenged, but two of the last three games, Vandalia, Greenville.
Right. And those are going to both be tough tests. Greenville has shown to be, I think, a little better than, at least I thought they would be, and I think a lot of other people, they're going to be, and that's always a great matchup anyway. Greenville and Carletonville have had some classic battles over the years, and so I think we could probably throw the records out the window that Friday night also. So I think if Coach Easterday could have picked his schedule, this is really going into the playoffs with these two great tests two of the last three games of the year. They're sitting in a nice place. Staying healthy is a key, you know, working through this, staying in the routine, but things are lining up for them.
We got a great week 7 lined up on WSMI. It'll be Carletonville Vandalia live at 7, and then Dan and Gary will be there for Gillespie and Staunton.
Which that Route 4, you know, when the games happen on Route 4, you know, records don't matter anyway.
Yeah.
You know, those, and Staunton, Gillespie they're both at very similar places, I think, from a standpoint of needing wins to make the playoffs, and there's there's probably a little bit of a distaste in each other's mouths for one another.
Well, this goes back to the very beginning of Staunton High School and Gillespie High School. I mean, this rivalry just goes all the way back to the very, very beginning.
Well, this was press boxes being burned down.
Letters burned in
the
fields.
The legends are incredible, you know.
They're still stealing coal from each other. I mean, Gary and I were talking on the way home from Pena last night that there's going to be fireworks.
Absolutely.
It's going to be a fun one.
Yeah. Should be a great week of football for week 7. We need to take a break here on Sports Saturday. We'll come back. We'll talk to Hillsboro head coach Aaron Duff following these messages on Sports Saturday.
Back to Sports Saturday here on WSMI, and we rejoin Tim Mize, Terry Tote, and Dan Newkirk.
Man, that sounds good.
Dan Newkirk?
Yes.
Yes, you're right.
We love Dan Newkirk. Dan does a fabulous job for us.
You know, I'm just honored to be here with you.
I tell you what,
I'm excited. I don't know what to say.
I've been out for a couple, 3 weeks here, and I've had a chance, and I'm going to brag on you guys. I've had a chance to tune around the dial on Friday nights, and without a doubt, I'm going to pat you guys on the back. We have the best football broadcast teams on the radio across the central part of the state. Dave does a great job with the sports break and the pregame show. Dan, you and Gary are just two peas in a pod that work perfect together. Tim and Carl have worked together for a long, long time. Great you know, professional broadcast teams, and I'm very, very, very proud of our guys.
Thank you.
Of you guys.
Yeah, thanks.
I mean, you guys, and our guys do a great job.
Fantastic.
You know, I think, Tim, we can't say enough about our production teams that don't get much voice in what's going on and how they set us up.
Yeah.
So, but thank you.
You know, and
checks in the mail.
It's just, you know, and I just kind of scan around and kind of listen. I'm going, man, how fortunate we are to have, you know, you guys and everybody here. So,
well, I can only speak for myself here, but I learned from the best.
Yeah, well,
there you go.
Johnny Krawlick was good.
I love your Johnny Krawlick stories. We'll get into those later on. Those are some fantastic stories. But we have Aaron Duff on the phone right now, the head coach of the Hillsboro Hilltoppers. And Duffy, it feels like sort of the same type of conversation we're having with you on Saturday morning. Man, you played better than the results you got.
Yeah, our kids played excellent last night. You know, at the end of the third quarter, it was 21-14. We're right in it, playing well. We had a couple little breakdowns in the fourth quarter. They had two long pass plays, but, you know, excellent receiver, the Klein kid. And we're right there again. Yeah, I told the kids last night, I know you're getting sick of hearing me say this, but we're close. We played great ball last night, you know, for at least three quarters.
Yeah, Aaron, just building on that, Gary and I have had the opportunity to call your game four times this year, and the growth that those Hilltopper kids are going through is just incredible. The job that you guys did this week in practice and to get them prepared for playing a really fast athletic team, I don't think we could say enough about the difference between the Gillespie game and the Painted game is just incredible. And I just wanted to congratulate you guys on the great job you did in practice week, getting the kids ready, because they did. The score is nowhere indicative of the effort that you guys made and how close that game was.
Yeah, we appreciate that, Dan. I give it all credit to our kids. They kept a great attitude this week. After the game last night, you know, I allowed the captains, you know, to speak, and one of our captains goes, hey, yeah, we're not going to the playoffs, but he said to his teammates, I had so much fun tonight playing this game. He goes, it's the best game I've ever played. He goes, we're just going to keep getting better, and we're going to try to win the last, you know, three ball games. So I give it all the credit to our kids and the attitude they've got at practice.
You know, and Coach, the game, there was such a respect in the game to begin with, but I'm going to give you a chance to speak just for a minute for what happened after the game, with the two teams coming together. And what was most impressive to me was looking in the middle, and we had Jordan Gregg, your leader, and Jack Armstrong, the leader of Pena, meeting together, high five, hugging, and all those young men seeing those leaders come together was just really what it's all about. And if you want to take a minute just to talk about that, I'd appreciate it.
Yeah, it was awesome. I mean, even before the game, the captains, you know, gave each other high fives, said, hey, good luck, great game. It was both teams very well respect each other on the field last night. And after the game, Painted kids came out and go, man, you gave us all you had. You know, good luck the rest of the season. You know, our guys did the same thing. And like I said, Jordan and Armstrong, they know each other a little bit there, and they just respect each other. And the thing that makes me happy as a coach, you know, I know we lost, but when the other team respects you enough like that and they know they've been in a ball game and a fight, it says a lot for our kids.
I mean, that everybody, obviously, you want to win. That's why you put in all the hours, the blood, sweat, and tears, the whole thing there. But in high school sports, especially small school high school sports, those types of things, those types of lessons, that's better than any W you can ever have.
Yeah, I agree. You know, trust me, we don't want to be 1-5. You know, I'm not happy with the record, but I'm happy with what our kids are doing. And, you know, they could have put it in the tank. Our senior said could have said, heck with it, you know. But we're still playing pretty good ball. We're just making those inexperienced young mistakes still, you know, and they're getting less and less every week. We're just going to keep working on them.
I mean, you're 1-5, but your last three games could have gone the other way. Real easy.
Yeah, you know, Gillespie and Staunton, we lost by a touchdown apiece, and then, you know, it's 21-14 late in the ball game last night. that's why, you know, like I said, I just keep giving props to our kids, man. It's, I had fun last night, coaching football with our guys. Our sidelines, kids were great. They stayed in it. And we had a great fan base there last night for, you know, 1-4, when we were 1-4 last night. So it was great atmosphere. We're just going to keep rolling.
And this is why coaches have no hair or gray hair.
Or both.
I've got a lot more gray hair. the law still affects you.
Yeah.
So Duffy, you mentioned kind of the mindset you will take now, knowing that you've been officially eliminated from the playoffs. There will be no quit in your kids.
Oh no. We're going to beat Greenville. We've had a good rivalry with those guys the past few years, so they're coming to our place. Our seniors only have 2 games left on their home field. This is one of them this week, so we're going to be going after it, and we're going to try to improve again. If we clean up a couple of mistakes, I think we'll be right there with them.
All right. Aaron Duff, the head coach of the Hillsborough Hilltoppers, thank you so much for joining us this morning, sir.
Yep. Hey, real quick, Terry.
Yes, sir.
Good to hear you back, man. You're one of the best out there.
Duffy, it's always a pleasure to talk to you, my friend, and keep up the good work. And one comment here, you guys are improving. The young kids are learning from their mistakes. And we've said it so many times on the air in the past, it's just a different classroom. It's not a classroom with a chalkboard and desks. It's a classroom that you learn that you can do things that you never thought you could do. And that's one of the great parts of being on a football team or a basketball team or a track team or whatever. It's just a different kind of classroom, and young men and women can learn so much from people like you.
Well, appreciate that. Like I said, I'm glad to hear you back, and I just want to tell you, keep fighting, man.
I will, buddy. Right. You got it.
All right.
Yep.
All right.
Thanks, Duffy.
Aaron Duff, the head coach of the Hilltoppers. Such a great man.
Oh, he's I tell you what, Duffy's just and he's got such a great sense of humor.
Right.
You know, you get talking to Duffy, and if you don't come out laughing your butt off,
something's wrong with you,
because he'll count loose with something. You sit there and it takes you half a second, and it sinks in. You're going, my God, this guy he could do a stand-up show. He's a good coach.
Yes, he is.
You know, and his kids will run. I don't care what their record is. His kids will run through a brick wall for him. So.
And come out the other side the way it trains.
Oh, yeah.
Them.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, Greenville next week?
There's some history there.
A little bit.
There's some history there.
They don't necessarily like each other.
It's a little extra spice added to the mix.
So. I'm sure Coach Hutch is reminding his kids this week that don't, you know, that's a record that we shouldn't ignore.
Yeah.
Because they're going to come after them.
Well, and, you know, I've always said about Hillsborough, doesn't matter what the record is. When you play Hillsborough on Saturday morning, you know you were in a fight.
Yeah. Right. You've been hit.
Absolutely.
Been hit. Absolutely.
We need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. When we come back, we hope to catch up with North Mac head coach Patrick Bowman following these messages.
Back to Sports Saturday here on WSMI, and we rejoin Tim Mize, Terry Choate, and Dan Newkirk.
All right, David Jenkins, thank you very much. And, hey, I just want to mention right now the T-Tote Shootout versus Cancer is going to happen December 8th in Carlinville. Thanks to Apex Physical Therapy, they are the title sponsor. And Terry, December the 8th in Carlinville, going to be an awesome day.
We're going to have hoops, aren't we?
We're going to have all sorts of hoops. We'll have Litchfield versus Lincolnwood Pawnee girls at 9:30. That'll tip it off. Then Litchfield-Lincolnwood boys at 11. A girls matchup has Staunton taking on Nokomis at 12:30. And then Carlinville will face Auburn in girls and boys at 2 and 3:30. At 5 o'clock, girls matchup, Hillsborough against Gillespie. 6:30, boys matchup, Hillsborough against Metro East Lutheran. And at 8 o'clock, Staunton against Nokomis in boys action. The
Hoops.
Inaugural
basketball
T-Tote shootout versus cancer.
Looking forward to it, man.
Absolutely. It's going
to
be
and
a
thanks
lot of fun.
To you, Tim, and Darren. Deneve and everybody that's been involved, it's quite humbling. Thank you.
Darren Deneve has done.
Yeah. Darren's such a great guy.
He's done so much of the legwork for this. He's been phenomenal. Yeah. Josh Stone with Lincolnwood has also been involved as well. Lincolnwood will be hosting the shootout next year. This is going to be an annual thing. So it'll be in Lincolnwood next year, but it's at Carlinville this year. And Darren has gone above and beyond with anything I could have ever hoped that he would do. So hats off to Darren Deneve for just a fantastic job. And thanks to the Montgomery County Cancer Association as well. They're going to be involved as well. And this year, all the money is going to you and your family.
I appreciate that. Thank you so much. And, we hope that it becomes an annual event, which continues to grow year after year and helps bring attention to this disease and go to, helping people in the area. That's what it's all about, helping people in the area.
So. We were on our way over to Pana last night, and at the four-way stop in Nokomis, the Montgomery County Cancer Association was there collecting, and Gary and I got to, he was real familiar, and I it's amazing what this group does in our county, to bring both funds and awareness to this terrible disease. And the people in charge there, Alicia Grossenheider, who is just in the fight of her life, was really headed that program and did wonderful things with it. And those people are all, and they stay under the scenes, and the work they do is just absolutely incredible.
It is. It is absolutely incredible. And, there are an awful lot of people that are affected by it, and, you know, research is the way to beat it. That's how you do it.
That's the only way.
That's the only way to do it. Just you know, continue to research and come up with that cure.
And unfortunately, that costs money.
I mean, there's just no doubt about it. It just costs money. So, it's funny because a lot of the nurses I had and several of the doctors I had when I was in the hospital here the last couple, 3 weeks, from the area, they knew about the radio station, about our, you know, sports coverage. A lot of them had kids or siblings that play sports and everything. And so it's amazing how small the world it really is and how terrific people are. And very caring. So, it's very, very humbling experience. So, but I'm looking forward to December 8th.
Yes. We're going to broadcast all the games on WSMI FM 106. But make sure you come out to the big house on West Main and Carlinville, because we want you to listen, of course. But if you don't come out, you can't get in the raffle for 4 Cardinal tickets, courtesy of Bank and Trust. And apparently these are 100 level tickets.
These are the good stuff.
Close.
Yeah.
Close.
Yes.
You get hit with sweat.
These are the ones that when the ball gets fouled back, you're ducking out of the way.
Yeah, bring your glove.
Yeah, there you go.
If you win these tickets.
There you go.
So we're going to have all sorts of things will be going on all day, but it's just going to be a fantastic day, and we just can't wait for it. We're looking so forward to December the 8th at Carlinville, the inaugural Tito Shootout versus Cancer, and thanks very much to our title sponsor, Apex Physical Therapy.
Yeah. And to all of our sponsors who make all of our broadcasts possible throughout the season. Without their loyalty, without their their dollars, we just aren't able to bring these games to you.
We'd just be talking to ourselves.
We would be talking to ourselves, but they are loyal to us. And you know, my gosh, especially when it comes tournament time, we get so much positive feedback with our sponsors and with our listeners. So.
Terry, one of your dear friends joining us on the phone right now, Dave Kane from the Springfield State Journal Register.
Good morning, David.
Hey, guys. How are you? What, you guys need to get Terry to kind of open up a little bit.
I know. It's a real problem.
Yeah. You can't get him to say 2 words. So, no. It's great. Great. It's great to hear Terry on there again, and it's great.
Uh-oh.
Hey, we lost Dave.
Well, we gotta get Dave back.
Yeah.
What's going on?
Well, I wanted, we're gonna
talk. It was great.
Just the connection wasn't very great.
Well, we had some connection issues last night in Girard. The beauty of a live broadcast, you never know what's gonna happen.
We always have the backup.
Had to call the audible.
That's right.
The backup we go.
How was it to do a game at Girard? Have you ever done a game at Girard?
The last time I did a game at Girard, Dave Bates' son Michael was the quarterback.
Okay.
That's how long it's been.
It's been a while.
And they were playing Girard.
Yeah.
Been a long time. But that's a great venue for a ball game. It was a crazy game. Dave was there last night as well, so gonna get his thoughts. And I've never seen a high school game quite like that one. Just so many oddities, so many turnovers, so many penalties. Great defense. Both teams had a period where their defensive line just totally dominated the game.
And all scoring came in the second quarter.
All of
it
in the second quarter.
Right, right. Okay.
And of course, Auburn, their touchdown came on a fourth and goal from the 17, because why wouldn't it?
Yeah, right. It's Auburn.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. Dave, we got you back here. We lost you for just a moment. And I want to get your thoughts.
Yeah, sorry.
I want to get your thoughts on that game last night. You've been doing this longer than I have, but I don't ever remember seeing a high school football game quite like that one. That was crazy.
It was, yeah, just on a lot of different levels. It was, there were a lot of turnovers on both sides. You know, I thought about it after the game. You know, North Max, two touchdowns, came within, you know, less than a minute of each other. You know, they scored, and then they scored again on the interception return. The way Auburn scored, it looked like they were in a prime position. You know, they were like first and goal inside the five, and then first and goal, or fourth and goal from the 17, and then they score. It was, I mean, an unfortunate situation in the first half of Auburn. Well, that's I guess he wasn't the starter last time. He was the regular quarterback, but there was a situation, and he had to leave the game. You know, there was an encounter on the field. And it was a low-scoring game, and it wasn't always pretty to watch, but it was still, you know, you had two Route 4 rivals. I think Dan earlier was talking about Route 4 games, and, you know, Auburn and, well, it used to be Auburn-Verdon and now Auburn-North Mac, you know, it's always a big rivalry no matter what. So it was just, it was certainly unusual.
And you factor in that both teams really had to win that game to really have a realistic shot at the playoffs.
Right, right. They both went in 2-3 last night, and, Auburn, you kind of looked ahead after last night. You know, Auburn plays Riverton next week. Auburn, you know, Riverton has struggled this year. Auburn should win that. Then they have Porta, and Porta is improved this year. So that's not a gimme for Auburn by any means. But then Auburn has to finish up with Morella Forsyth.
Yeah.
And, both teams needed to win last night, but, you know, Auburn, in particular, to kind of keep their playoff streak going. They've made it 21 years in a row. And I mean, North Mac the same way. And I think North Mac has a few tough teams left, like Plains and Athens. Both teams, you know, I don't know if you can say this early. Well, last night was a playoff game, but in some ways it was. So, Dave Bates, who's been doing this for a few years, said, you know, we got to go back to work next week and get ready for Riverton, and we know what we have to do, but you got to do it one at a time. So that's just the way it turned out.
And when you talk to Sangamo Conference, by the time you get to week six, you are talking playoff implications, not only for the Auburns and North Max, but for actually several teams that are still in the hunt. And, mm-hmm. you know, that's such a black and blue conference.
Right. Yeah,
tough games down the stretch for everybody, it seems like.
Right, right. There's not many, easy weeks or, we can just go through the motions here. It's certainly I keep forgetting Athens is 1A, but
right.
for the most part, the Sangamo is 2A and 3A. It's certainly, I guess you'd say in downstate Illinois, certainly one of the toughest conferences for those sizes of schools. Here we are. I mean, it's hard to believe we're heading into the last one third of the regular season here. So a lot of teams, are looking at, okay, here's our situation. I mean, if you're 5-0 or 5-1 or 6-0, you can kind of start thinking about the playoffs, but other teams are sort of in playoff mode already.
Dave, how do you put it in perspective? You mentioned it, and it's just staggering that a school like Auburn, 21 straight years in the playoffs. That's impossible to do, but they did it.
Oh, yeah. It speaks very highly. Number one of Dave Bates, and not just Dave, but his coaching staff, a few of his assistants have come and gone over the years, but you still look over on that sideline and you see a lot of those same guys in the, well, last night it was Blue Jackets or, you know, Blue whatever, who have been together for a long time. I think Bill Carlicker has been a, like a line coach for Dave for many, many, many years. They've been together for a long time. Torrey Points is with them, several others. So, you know, there's, I guess you'd say that continuity, I think, has to have something to do with that Auburn success. You know, and there's, you know, just the tradition aspect, and, you know, young kids who are maybe in seventh or eighth grade, they'll go to a game on Friday night and they'll say, hey, I want to be a part of that. And it just, as they say, sort of feeds on itself. So yeah, it is a remarkable run, and I don't know, you know, what the state record is for consecutive, you know, playoff appearances, but, you know, 21 years in a row certainly has to be up there. That's for sure.
And, you know, sports, it's weird sometimes, and he finally got his trip to state after so many great teams and so many heartbreaking losses and deep playoff runs. Finally gets to state, and now the last 3 years, 5-4, 5-4, best they can do this year, 4-5. It's just odd to me as I look at that, how that has worked out.
Well, yeah, and you know, I mean, it's that Moroa game in week 9, that's going to be, in particular, the extremely tough one. You know, I mean, mathematically, as we sit here, they still have a chance to be 5-4, but it would take an awfully big upset there in week 9, and they play Porta too, and Porta's not an easy team to beat. I mean, you think about just how it's worked out in recent years where they somehow, you know, all, you know, made it happen, you know, to win at least 5 games or 6 games or whatever. But in high school football, you know, certain years, you can't always sign those free agents to fill some of those holes.
And, well, some schools can.
You know, Dave, you know, he even pointed out after the game last night, he said, I'll be honest, I thought we would be a little better this year, but he said we do start a lot of juniors, you know, maybe met a lot of kids who maybe weren't regulars last year who are still, you know, who are still learning. And, that's just a reality of, well, high school football and high school sports. You can't just sign free agents or go to the waiver wire and pick up kids or whatever. So it is a little different for Auburn this year, but, you know, the season's not over, so I'm sure they're gonna, you know, get back to work this coming week and try to at least get their third win next week.
I put the cart before the horse. They could win out and go 5-4 and make the playoffs. They absolutely could, because hey, it's high school football. Yeah. Anything can happen. Who would have thought Staunton would have gone to state several years ago? So I mean, anything can absolutely happen. But Dave, as we look at the other side from last night, North Mac, their defense was outstanding.
Oh, especially against Auburn's running defense, running offense, excuse me. Auburn had kind of a situation there where they had to, you know, they started a young quarterback and Tim Stewart, and he ended up playing pretty much the entire game. And, so they probably, you know, they probably went to the run even more than maybe they normally would. And I think it looked like North Mac made a few adjustments early on, and there were just no openings, it seemed like, when Auburn ran the ball as the game went on. It was, you know, Auburn was, they might get 1 or 2 yards at the most. They played, especially just as the game wore on. And really, you know, you had to credit them when Auburn got in that situation, late second quarter, they recovered the fumble, and, you know, first and goal inside the 5. You know, you had to give, North Mac credit, defense credit even then. They threw them for like 3 losses in a row. And all of a sudden it's 4th and goal at the 17. And, you know, Auburn was able to, you know, get that touchdown pass in there. But even that series, you know, North Mac's defense was pretty impressive. So, North Mac did, you know, did all the scoring they needed to do, you know, like in the span of less than a minute last night. And then really their defense did the rest, although they did have that one long possession there in the fourth quarter. They ate up a lot of time.
And that was huge.
And unfortunately, they weren't able to score on it, but they kept Auburn's offense off the field. So that was a big part of the game too last night.
And it took like 9 minutes off the fourth quarter clock, even they didn't score. It really kind of just ran Auburn
yeah.
out of time.
If you can take yeah. 5 minutes off the clock late in the ballgame, that's one thing. You take 9 minutes off the clock, you basically destroyed the quarter.
And Dave, there was no secret about that. Jacob Lilly's going to take the snap, and he's going to run. Can you stop him? And right. Auburn couldn't.
Yeah. Right. I mean, you know, sometimes it would be third down and third and whatever, and they would always get just enough. And that's an interesting, arrangement they have. You know, they kind of alternate the quarterbacks, Malink and Van Ossel. And I think, you know, there's no secret. Van Ossel is more of the thrower of the two, and Malink is more the runner and kind of the athlete. And it worked last night, that's for sure.
Dave, thank you for a few minutes every time. We always appreciate it when you jump on here on Sports Saturday, and we'll talk to you down the line, bud.
Thanks, Dave.
Well, hey, yeah. Hey, no, hey, great to hear all you guys, especially the tall guy who's with you there this morning, and it's great to hear all you guys.
Thanks. Dave, thank you so much.
And, okay.
All right.
One of the best there is.
Always
right
fantastic. There. He's just fantastic.
Dan, very quickly, the game of football and in basketball and many games, but talk about making adjustments. Because that's what happened last night to me. North Mac was able to make the adjustments. And, you know, if you're able to do that, you're going to win ball games.
Steve Spurrier, I saw Steve Spurrier speak at a conference one year, and he made the comment that it's not the X's and the O's, it's the Jimmies and the Joes.
Yeah.
And the coaching staffs that are able to account for the other team's Jimmies and Joes generally come out successful in these games. And it sounds like when we look at the North Mac Auburn game, North Mac just did a better job of accounting for the running game, the players from the other team, and came out of an ugly game, it sounds like, between turnovers and penalties on top. And when you're scheming, you have to account for those players on the other team. You know, we look at Carlinville Vandalia matchup this week, and Coach Easterday, you know, talked about Trevor Smalls, and he is a player that has to be accounted for.
Yeah.
And the coaching staffs are able to do that, as well as covering their other bases. They're the ones that really are very talented and successful.
We just heard from Patrick Bowman. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll talk to North Mac head coach Patrick Bowman following these messages on Sports Saturday.
Back to Sports Saturday here on WSMI, and we rejoin Tim Mize, Terry Tote, and Dan Newkirk.
All right, David Jenkins, thank you so much. We're going to catch up with Patrick Bowman here in just one moment. I want to mention this. We'll talk a little bit after Patrick is done, but we talked last week about Mount Olive had been served with a Freedom of Information request from HBO Real Sports. Confirmed this week, they are wanting to know the football enrollments from 2012-13 and 2017-18. And they also want to know how many of those kids in the football roster were part of the free or reduced lunch program at school. And then Superintendent Patrick Murphy told me this week that they were served earlier this week with another FOIA request from HBO Real Sports, wanting to know the numbers for all sports at Mount Olive, same 2 years, with the same two questions. So those are the facts. Take from it what you want. We'll talk about it in just a moment, but we're happy to have Patrick Bowman joining us on the phone right now. And Coach, what a ball game. My goodness, did you sleep a wink last night?
Not very much. It was a ball game. Like you said, it was a fun one to watch, and I think the fans got their money's worth last night.
I've never seen anything quite like that, just with the turnovers, the penalties, the special teams, the defense, and the late turnover. I mean, you guys fumble when you just have to run the clock out. You fumble, then you get the pick right back. My goodness.
Yeah, talking about the ups and downs of the football game, I think we went through them all last night.
Just like you drew it up on the chalkboard, Coach, right?
That's right.
Patrick, I thought the key to that game last night, there were several, but your defensive line dominated that football game for large stretches.
Yeah, the defense played extremely well. I think we gave up 41 total yards all night. So anytime you can say that, especially against a team like an Auburn, that's definitely something to be proud of.
And it didn't start well. Auburn runs the opening kickoff down inside your own 20. So at that point, your defense really set the tone early. We're not giving anything tonight.
They did, yeah. We had a little coverage breakdown that we covered this morning at practice. The good thing is we can still get better. So That wasn't the way we planned to start, but they, like you said, they stepped it up when they needed to, and it turned out okay.
That was an electric atmosphere last night at Girard. Huge crowd, and they were wildly entertained with the ball game that was put in front of them. But in a lot of ways, that was a playoff game. You guys had to have it.
We did, and we've talked about that. One of our goals, like most teams, is, hey, let's get to the playoffs. What an exciting game to start this run, but we'll take it one week at a time. But yeah, this one was big. We've got to get a couple more of the next three and see what happens.
You guys got the football back up 12-8 with 11:04 to go in the fourth quarter, and I commented on the broadcast, North Mac doesn't necessarily need to score on this possession, but they need to take some time off the clock, and then you have the ball for almost 9 minutes.
Yes, that was an impressive drive, and we went over some of that stuff this morning. The entire offensive line, the receivers, the backs, everyone, like you said, we ran the ball down the field, we ate up the clock, exactly what we wanted to do. And unfortunate play there in the end zone, an interception that, when you're running the ball, that's the chances you take, and if I'll take the blame for that as the coach. Maybe that wasn't the right play call, but, hey, we ate the clock like you said. We needed to get some time off the clock, and it worked out.
And as a coach, a drive like that has to be satisfying because there was nothing fancy. We got Jacob Malik. We're going to run the ball, and boy, your offensive line just got the job done.
They did. The offensive line, the backs, receivers blocking downfield. We watched that on film this morning. So yeah, you're right. Everybody did their job, and it was a very impressive drive.
That was old school football. Nothing complicated. Here it comes. Can you stop it? And they couldn't.
It was, and that's the way I kind of grew up in the game, and definitely like to see that. A lot of people have spread it out, throw it all over the field, but it's always nice to see a running game. Me being an old running back guy, that I do like seeing that stuff.
Well, Patrick, you're now 3-3 through 6 weeks. I think you still have Plains, you still have Athens. A lot of work to be done yet.
You bet. Yep, we have Plains this week. Every week in the Sangamo, like you guys say, it's a battle every week. So you just take one at a time and keep working every day.
Patrick Bowman, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time. Congratulations on an awesome win last night, sir. Best of luck next week.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys. Take care.
Yeah.
North Mac head coach Patrick Bowman. And, you know, I remember Don Borgini told me years ago, football's simple. Blocking and tackling.
Yeah.
Blocking and tackling. That's all it is. You do those two things well, and you're going to have success more times than not. And man, last night, blocking and tackling.
Yeah, touchdowns take care of themselves.
Right.
Yeah. If you can't block and tackle, you know, then you're in trouble. So, yeah. And they do it well. And Coach Bowman, I think, probably learned from one of the best.
Most likely, yeah.
Yeah.
A thing or two.
He was one of the best.
Yeah. So that was a fun game last night, and both of our broadcasts from last night available in podcasts at WSMIRadio.com. Of course, last week we talked to Brian Borkowski, the South Mac coach, after their program had to forfeit the rest of their game. So that was a very unfortunate circumstance, obviously. And as we were talking about that last week, obviously with the Mount Olive Bunker Hill co-op situation forming North Mac, we had heard about these rumblings with Mount Olive and HBO Real Sports. And it's going to be in mid-October when this program airs on HBO, and Patrick Murphy said he's not been interviewed by HBO Real Sports. There's been no interviews or anything. They just simply filed these FOIA requests. They want this information, and the facts were what I laid out about the free or reduced lunches for the kids. Everything else that we're about to say is purely just conjecture and trying to kind of surmise what in the world are they going for here. They obviously have an angle that they're pursuing. They went, I think, to like four other schools is how I heard it, in addition to Mount Olive. What they're trying to get at, I don't know. But it's interesting that they're going for the angle of free or reduced lunches for two specific years. They're trying to gauge something.
Well, I tell you what, there's some issues with football in America right now,
right,
where
sure,
participation and concussions is the thing that always comes to mind. And I almost wonder if HBO is not looking for another angle.
Mm-hmm.
Is it just the concussions that are scaring people off, or is there something bigger going on underlying and growing So it's going to be very interesting to see that show and the direction.
And especially the smaller schools, you know, you're dealing with numbers, you're dealing with the fact that, you know, the cost that's involved in keeping the football programs alive. And there's just so many different variables that go into keeping a program alive and well and viable over the years. And like you guys said, their angle might be something like we'll never even think of. But they certainly want to take a look at this.
Yeah, I mean, and obviously when you start talking about an operation like HBO and a program like Real Sports with Bryant and Gumbel, they just don't do things willy-nilly let's just talk about this because we want to. They obviously have something that they have thought about and have decided to investigate into, and they clearly, they don't want to talk to anybody. They just want the numbers. So this is, I guess, for lack of a better, kind of an analytical look at the situation, and I'm just fascinated to see where they're going with this, because my first thought is, are they trying to make a point that lower income people are the only ones left playing football? I don't know. It's an odd thing to want to know free or reduced lunches versus the number of kids playing football.
But you look at the state of Illinois, and you look at the teams that end up in the state championship games, you're talking about some of the richest school districts and private school districts, private schools in the entire state.
Exactly.
So, you know, to me, that's not the issue.
But why did they pick Mount Olive?
That I don't know.
You know?
And then again, why wouldn't you talk to officials from Mount Olive?
Why wouldn't you? Exactly. Because I specifically asked Patrick Murphy that.
Yeah.
Were you interviewed?
Yeah.
No. They just wanted documents.
Is it just part of a statistical?
Could be.
That they're
could
going
be.
To, and may not even be named.
Sure.
Right.
Just a part of a small school statistical number that comes through as a, of a point they're trying to prove. So, it's going to be interesting.
Very, very odd.
Yeah. Well, there are lots of odd things in the world.
There are. And this is one of them.
Well,
and I think when we look at what's happening at South Mac and the co-op and the numbers issue that Litchfield is having, there's some problems and some issues. You know, it's not just with those schools. That's kind of a symptom of a greater problem. And hopefully what's going on is they're trying to get to and bring some light to what those problems are there, where maybe people can make some changes and move forward and help recover this great sport of high school football that we have.
Exactly right. Terry, great to have you back, my friend.
Yeah, good to be back.
You'll be back Monday?
Be back on Monday.
All right. Hey, I look for it. Send us home, sir.
All right. WSMI-FM, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carlinville, and Greenville, your 50,000-watt sports voice of Mid-Illinois. Have a great sporting weekend.